With 9 dicks, 21 boners, and a whopping 2011 farts, it's Video Games Hot Dog. I'm Zach.
I'm Riff.
I'm Kevin.
And I'm Dave.
Special guest Dave.
Woohoo!
It's
Hi.
Getting less special.
I was just about to say.
Yeah. I'm not very special.
Dave, you're like fish and visitors. What have you guys been up to? Fishing, visiting things?
Yeah. Lemon-flavored fish.
You know, fishing as a minigame in real life is just as boring, I think, as it is
you can be
in
drunk
every other game.
Although you can be drunk when you're fishing in World of Warcraft.
Fishing, yeah.
Has there ever been a non-boring fishing minigame?
The only fishing game that I've ever found interesting was the one in, was it Ocarina of Time? One of the Zelda games had a fishing game that kept me entertained for days and days.
One of my roommates in the late 90s had one of those sort of LCD fishing games that you could buy at Target or Walmart for a while there, where it was like a fishing pole
with a screen.
Yeah, it was like a fishing pole handle with a screen on it, and you'd cast it, and then you'd do some shit where you turned a crank. I don't know. Yeah. I got pretty good at it, but I don't remember anything about it at all.
Like a physical reel that you would wind up.
That was part of the game.
That was one of the controls.
I often saw That's it and weird. Laughed at the idea of people having it, but I never tried.
He was an outdoorsman. They were all surprised. They got out this pellet gun, and everybody was like trying to shoot. Everybody was pretty drunk, and they were all trying to shoot this like wine glass that they had set up in the backyard. Mm-hmm. And I picked up the gun and shot the wine glass and broke it. And they were all, "How'd you learn how to shoot, faggot?" And I was like,
"Play a lot of video games.
I'm a hillbilly. I'm actually a hillbilly. You only thought I was a faggot because I didn't know how to shoot it." Because you assumed that I didn't grow up shooting a lot of guns.
They repealed Don't Ask, Don't Tell.
They did. Wow, so now all kinds of gays can learn how to shoot things.
Yeah. That's true.
Not just me.
Well, I mean, I think they were learning how to shoot things before, but they were doing it secretly.
No, they were secretly shooting things. They were learning how to shoot things without people knowing.
They wouldn't tell anybody that they shot anything.
Well, no one was asking, so.
Yeah. Right.
Now they can both ask and
the only
tell.
I remember there was a hunting game where you got to hunt dinosaurs. That was the only...
Was it Turok Dinosaur Hunter?
It wasn't Turok. It was something else.
Third Rock from the Dinosaur Hunter.
Big Game Hunter Dinosaur Edition or something.
Yeah.
I cannot even imagine. That's the thing. Like, you go like everywhere that there's an arcade game that's like hunting a wolf or whatever. I just don't understand. Like, why would you do this when those could be aliens or something? Yeah. Like, this is not.
It is a different demographic.
I mean, is it just one wolf? It's like you and a wolf are alone on a mountain. Someone else is playing the video game where they're the wolf.
Oh, it could be.
Ooh.
That'd be kind of cool.
Ooh. Yeah, it's somebody on the other side of the bar playing Golden Tee. the wolf is being controlled as though that was their golf ball.
I mean, I could imagine instead of, so like one person has like an interface which is like shooting with a gun, and another person is like has an interface which is like a bunch of
where you have to bite
sticks.
Something.
Well, it's a bunch of sticks and twigs on the ground, and then like a biting interface, right? And so they have to like step real quiet. And if they make any noises, then it'll alert the other player. And then, they get close enough, then they bite them. Yeah.
Did you go at the Exploratorium? Did you go to that thing where you were trying to walk across gravel as quietly as possible?
No.
It was just a little hallway that the floor was gravel.
Okay.
Actually, the floor was lava.
Yeah.
But they let it cool.
Nice.
Turned into gravel after hundreds of years, so it was fine. And then there was like a decibel meter, so you'd push a button on one end, and then you would go to the other end and push a button, and it just kept a little thing that was how much noise you were making.
Huh.
And it was just like, see, we told you it was hard to move quietly.
That's exciting science.
What happens if you like just floated across to the other side because you were supernatural?
You'd win.
Is there a Japanese edition where they put rice paper down?
You get to go up in the glass elevator and you own the Exploratorium from then on.
Ooh.
When I was little, my cousin and I spent a lot of time trying to run across a beach like Remo Williams.
Run across an ocean like Remo Williams?
He started off running across the beach. At the end, when he became a master, he was able to run across the ocean.
Thank you, printer, for taking the most opportune possible time to go into your horrifying self.
So, okay, I've been listening to some of our old podcasts, and we talk about like room noise and ambient noise and stuff like that, and I can't hear a damn thing.
Okay.
So I'm going to assume that they can't hear the air conditioner or the...
And that I should stop talking about it. I always do this. I try and lampshade everything, and then nobody knows what I'm talking about.
The deafening shrieks of the neighborhood children. Yeah.
When was the last time that printer worked?
It works.
Yeah, I mean, you have to... plug your computer directly into it.
And
it
by computer, he means
wirelessly.
The computer is his penis.
computer. One cup.
Wait. So when we've been talking hot. About computer games for all these episodes.
Yeah, we're just talking about
this is penis games.
Oh,
okay. It is. Okay, good. See, I was afraid we were on completely different pages.
Put your pants back on.
Also, when we talk about books and movies.
What have you guys been up to in the last week or so besides this Wolf Hunter game?
I've been spending a lot of time thinking about rhetorical phrases. Actually, so like I had this long-standing thing where I thought that the question about which came first, the chicken or the egg, wasn't really an interesting question, because all it was really doing was determining whether or not you were a creationist or an evolutionist.
Okay.
Because like a creationist would think, poof, chicken, right? That came first, and then they started laying eggs. Whereas an evolutionist would say, oh well, clearly there was an what was a proto chicken would be an egg, and that would become the chicken that we know today. And this week I realized that if a tree falls in a forest and no one's around to hear it, does it make a sound, is a dumb question, because either you don't believe that anything happens when no one's around. So like it's not, the tree wouldn't even fall. There is no tree to fall because no one is around. They're not creating the reality.
Like ultra solipsism.
Or it obviously makes a sound. Yeah. There's the intermediate question is retarded. So yeah.
When you said you had like a bit, I assumed you meant it was funny. Anyway.
Yeah, so that's what I've been doing this past week, is
thinking about that.
That was a lot of time that you spent on that.
I'm not trying to be mean to you. I honestly thought...
Oh, yeah, I clearly you're not.
I'm really not. I thought you had a little stand-up routine. Funny. I didn't know that you've been thinking about these things. What is the sound of one hand clapping?
This.
I just thought it was just cool.
This is radio. You could fake it.
The app.
Yeah, it's this.
Yeah. Yeah, but what you didn't realize is that we've been video casting these whole things.
Sucks. I guess I better put my pants back on.
I'm sorry. Whoops.
I've been eating beans almost every day.
Oh my god, you sure have. So many beans.
Yeah. Yeah. As evidenced by our reactions.
I've been having a good time.
You have to scrape the stink off of the walls. It is so bad.
We are going to take stock in the Febreze company, I think.
Cool. You're going to take stock?
Well, yeah.
You're just going to evaluate.
Just fill your pool with it and drive your car in.
Yeah. Your car smells something fierce, and it's...
It's not the farts, though.
It might be that squid that I hid in there a week ago.
Yeah, oh, really? You put in some squid to replace that? I think we talked about this on the podcast already, but when we left town for 2 weeks, I accidentally left a takeout container of calamari in my car that liquefied, and it got to smelling real bad. And then Riff just happened to have a car air freshener in his wallet.
Yeah.
What do you mean by just, is like, what, are you sure you just weren't making your wallet smell fresh? That new wallet smell?
It was nice. Yeah,
do you have a wallet of holding? It holds wallet things. Of useful items? You know, I was just reading about the robe of useful items in Mordenkainen's Magnificent Emporium.
I always preferred from the April Fool's issue of Dragon Magazine, they had the robe of useless items. Mm-hmm. Did you ever see that one?
No.
With like 50 feet of rope in 2-inch lengths.
Which one of those items had the lemon-scented air freshener in it?
Yeah, was that in the useful items or the useless items?
It smelled like lemony fish farts instead of just fish farts.
Oh.
I guess if I had to smell a fish fart, I would rather it be lemony.
I did something that these guys have now pointed out goes entirely counter to all of my sensibilities vis-a-vis Mordenkainen's Magnificent Emporium. So there was that. We went to the game store to buy a board game. The only reason that I went to the game store to buy this board game instead of buying it on Amazon, which is clearly the sensible thing to do, given that it is like half the price.
In
my self-interest. It is the most rational individual behavior in the short term is to buy it from Amazon. But I wanted to play it that night. Didn't end up doing it. Didn't end up playing it for like a week. Should have bought it on Amazon. But I went to buy this board game, Cargo Noir, which we've been playing a ton of.
That's a good game.
On the next episode of Board Games Hot Dog, we'll talk all about Cargo Noir. I'm going to rip some ass.
Jesus.
You guys, I don't understand why I keep exclusively eating beans for lunch. I know that this is a problem. I recognize the issues that this is causing in my personal life. I'm starting to miss work because of my farting. I sometimes have to fart in the morning as an eye opener.
We went to lunch the other day, and he was marveling at the fact he had like 9 different kinds of beans.
It was an accident. I just went through the salad bar, grabbing all of the things that looked like a thing that I wanted to eat.
Did you also eat the tofu? Tofu and the soy sauce, because that's like a bean product.
Oh yeah, I did eat some tofu. Yeah, I didn't eat any soy sauce. Soy sauce is for drinking. Anyway, so we went to the game store. I saw a Dungeons and Dragons book on the counter, and I was like, I have been buying the interesting ones from the 4th edition Dungeons & Dragons stuff, not to play Dungeons & Dragons,
just
to read, because I like reading lists of magic items. Yeah. It's just a thing that brings me a little bit of joy.
Yep.
And I was like, all right, Dave, remind me to buy this when I get back to the office on Amazon.
Needless to say that I forgot twice.
So we went back to the game store just to fart around. And so I went home and I tried to order it on Amazon, and it was like, well, this is only available, like Wizards of the Coast decided with this particular D&D book that they were only going to make it available for sale in independently owned retailers. Like, you can't buy it at a Borders.
You can't buy anything at a Borders now.
You can't buy it at a Barnes and Noble. So, like, if you wanted your mom to sell it to you, we would have to make your mom get a job at a small independent bookstore.
Okay.
Perhaps with your pop.
Hey. Anyway, so I just downloaded it off the internet.
For free.
instead of paying literally twice as much as it was worth. And so then we got into this huge argument where, because I think that Kevin is silly for not believing that... So Kevin is irritated that an $8 hardback book is accompanied by a $12 ebook. But it would not bother him if the ebook was $12, if the hardback was $12.01. It only bothers him that it's more expensive and doesn't gauge it on a sort of absolute scale of value. And yeah. I was like, you know, because they claim there is no $15 version of this book. So me being pissed off that I can't get the $15 version of this book doesn't make any sense. But I say every one of these books that I bought has been either $15 or $20, depending on what Amazon charged for it. And so I'm just not going to buy it at $30, even though what I'm doing is specifically like shitting on independent businesses.
It's a good thing you don't have one of those.
It's extra odd, though, because like my end of the argument, I'm the kind of guy who pirates lots of movies, but when it comes to games, I only buy games from independent
books. Which is particularly weird because you work in the movie industry.
Yeah, it seems terrible that you would. Maybe that's it. Maybe because I work in the games industry, I want other game companies to go out of business. That's funny because they don't make video games. They're not in direct competition with us.
Who knows? The space is getting really blurry.
Yeah, maybe the Game Depot in Mesa has a
copy of Warden Cannon's Magical Magnificence.
Maybe I should just shoplift it from there. That'd be like
that would solve all of the problems.
I'd have a physical copy of it, and I still didn't have to pay for it. Mm-hmm. I could shoplift it and then give them $15.
There you go.
Okay.
But we got into arguments about economies of scale.
I think that would actually be better for them if you shoplifted it and gave them $15.
Then nothing?
Because then they're not paying sales tax.
Wow.
No, because if he doesn't shoplift it, they can sell that book to someone else for 30.
Maybe they won't.
Well, it's a gamble. But...
I wish I had a robe of useful things, because one thing that would be useful to me right now is a copy of Mordenkainen's Magnificent Emporium. Anyway, I, for whatever reason, felt like it was okay for me to download it and glance through it, but I didn't actually sit and read it. I probably won't. Mm-hmm. I'll probably just delete it or file it away with my other PDFs.
Did you... Okay, on Amazon, did they have it on Amazon? They listed the book?
It was listed as a thing that existed, and then in the single review, it was like, this item is like not for sale on Amazon by Wizards of the Coast.
Do they not have preview pages on Amazon?
I don't know.
Okay. Because that would be another way to glance through
it. I find... Sure. 9 times out of 10, when I go to look at the preview pages of a book on Amazon, what it previews is the copyright information the and the pages. Table of contents and nothing actually.
Yeah, and then the
useful.
Last page that says this page intentionally left useless.
Yeah.
I've seen a bunch of middle pages from things.
Sometimes you can find kids' books that the entire book is in the preview.
I bought a couple origami books on Amazon.
Oh yeah,
yep.
Did you make any origami?
Yeah, I made an origami. I made a piggy.
Did you buy square paper?
Yes, I did.
The hardest part of origami for me was cutting squares out of paper.
Yeah, I mean, you get used to it.
Because I always wanted to do them freehand at a diagonal on an 8.5 by 11 sheet of paper, and I almost never got it right.
Yeah, the background of this is that it the KOL con that just happened. One of my roles in setting up for the LARP that we did was to prepare a set of 20 different activity sheets of puzzles and coloring book pages and stuff that the players could do while they were waiting for their turns at the LARP.
Doesn't that sound awesome?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And one of them that the idea we came up with was to give them an origami project with the caveat that the sheet of paper you were given to fold the animal out of was also the sheet of paper with the instructions on it.
Yeah.
So as you start to fold this thing, you quickly have no more instructions telling you how to do it. But in the course of trying to find an appropriate model, it just, I don't know.
You were having a hard time.
A hard time because you don't want to do something easy like origami for kids, because anybody with two pairs of hands can fold one of those. But you don't want to pick something like pairs of hands.
Yeah,
two hands.
No wonder I had trouble.
Yeah. But you don't want to pick something complicated like an antelope that somebody who's never done origami before is not going to be able to do.
I've made origami cantaloupes before, and those are not that
just
hard.
Just sort of crumble them up. Yeah. Boulders.
Did you ever use that origamiboulder.com?
Yeah, that was a good site. But so in the course of trolling through the entire internet trying to find an appropriate model, it kind of reminded me of how much I enjoyed doing origami when I was a kid. So I found a couple good-looking books on Amazon and ordered.
Do you know the guy who did Origami Boulder also had a couple other websites, including Monkey Phone Call?
I did not know that.
Was he also the Bonsai Kitten dude?
No, Bonsai Kitten was never a real product.
No, I know.
Okay, yeah, no, that was...
You knew the Bonsai Kitten guy. Yeah. Didn't his shit get raided?
Well, the FBI came and checked out his computer.
So it was like at the end of
Happiness. Shaked a stern finger at him.
Well, I mean, they looked and they came and they looked at it and they're like, oh, seriously, this is why we were brought out here, and then just left. It was sort of ridiculous.
He was like, yeah, sorry guys, you want a beer or something?
Yeah.
Can I touch your gun?
But Monkey Phone Call, I mean, like, they were both services that actually provided, like, you could actually order an origami boulder Monkey Phone Call. It's $10, and you could give them a phone number, and then he would impersonate a monkey calling somebody for 10 minutes.
Huh.
For 10 minutes.
10 minutes. If they stayed on the phone, he would continue to be a monkey for 10 minutes. Wow. Yeah.
That's pretty good.
That's a heck of a phone call.
I know.
Would $10.
He record it or something and put it up online?
That's not enough money to do that.
I don't know.
I could just do that to my friends.
$10 for 10 minutes?
Yeah. That's, I mean, you could be doing it while you're taking a poop, right? You could do it at your regular job.
If I'm making monkey noises while I'm pooping, I'm throwing the poop.
It needs to be authentic.
Yeah, of course.
That's some just sporting. The thing that's true about me. If you want me in your life, you got to get used to that.
Yeah. It's very unfortunate.
Yeah.
Have I mentioned the scraping of the walls?
Yeah. Also, I wear only brown clothing now.
Yeah. What have you been up to, Dave?
I have been trying in vain to play a lot of video games this week.
It was sad when
this has been a bad week of trying to play video
downloaded,
games.
Downloaded Team Fortress 2.
Yeah, I spent probably
900 hours.
An hour before I realized, oh, I'm on the wireless. Maybe I should just plug into a hard line to download the game. And so then 3 hours later, I think, the game finally, it downloaded and installed. And I played through like two of the training scenarios and realized that even though I could sort of muddle through it, if I tried playing with anybody else multiplayer, that I would just be dead. And also, by that time, you guys had the game had already run its course through everybody else. So I would have had nobody to play with really multiplayer anyway.
Oh, that's sad.
That was sad. Yeah. And then I tried limping back to Minecraft because everybody was having so much fun on our little Minecraft server. And I went out to go find, Riff had found a little NPC village, and I went to go find it, and I fell into some sort of death trap where I was stuck in a waterfall, and my options were either to drown trying to swim up the waterfall or fall to the bottom where I would be surrounded by lava and probably die.
Huh.
And so I died down there, and hopefully when I'm back to a real computer, I'll be able to find that spot again and rescue some or all of my stuff.
Does your stuff stay there indefinitely until somebody...
Until somebody spends enough time in that chunk. Wow. So if I kind of know where it is, so hopefully I can race there and grab it and not die in the process.
You know, Dave, you could use one of our computers and play Minecraft.
How does that work?
Well, you ask one of us if you can use our computer. I appreciate you being kind and rewinding.
Rewind.
Hey, so speaking of what we've been playing, what have you been playing?
I also been playing a bunch of Minecraft. Been replacing all the cobblestone in my house with the new stone bricks, making everything fancy. Posted a picture of my garden under a beautiful sunset on minimumsafedistance.org. And I figure once I finish my architectural alterations. I'll post either a photo essay or figure out how to film a tour of my lovely mansion.
It's not really photos.
Well,
screenshots. Essay.
They're like photos.
Is the recipe for the bricks just four cobblestones?
Four smooth stones.
It's super labor intensive.
No, not really. Because four smooth stone gives you four stone bricks.
Oh, okay. Yeah. That's
and better. Then also you can break those. It doesn't turn into cobble, correct, when you break them?
Right. They turn back into regular bricks. And interestingly, there's also mossy stone bricks and cracked stone bricks, which you can only naturally farm in the ultra-rare strongholds. But I don't know if this is a bug or a feature, but you can make stone brick staircases and then smash them. And depending on what direction the staircase was facing, you might get mossy brick or cracked brick back instead of the regular brick.
Like moss only grows on the east side of a staircase?
Yeah, or something.
So, and then can you then break that back into the mossy cobblestone, the moss stone?
How many do you need for them to break into diamond?
probably a lot more than I've ever had. Plus a great deal of pressure and time.
Okay. Or more Superman. Than our parents would ever allow.
I played a bunch of that. I finished the two iPad adventure games I was talking about last
11,
week.
12, 3.
11, 12, Part 3 and Hector Badge of Carnage, Part 2. Third part of which just was released tonight. So that's pretty cool. That was a pretty good game. So I'm kind of excited about playing the third one.
All right. Those are the Telltale. That's the
Telltale's publishing it. The company that actually made it is called Strandlooper.
Strandlooper?
Mm-hmm.
Sounds like a good dessert from Scandinavia. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Stroopwafel and Strandlooper. The humor's really really crude and offensive if you're the sort of person to be offended by that sort of thing.
I don't abide by that kind
of humor.
Like
Garcia Hotspur.
Yeah. And
telling you to taste his big boner.
Yeah. And you know, there's a scene where you have to dose your date with roofies and
nice.
Yeah.
Oh, how come he gets away with that?
And but humor's really crude, and the plot, I don't know, the plot was okay. It was nothing special, but it served its purpose. But I thought the puzzles were pretty interesting and well formed.
Were any of them jigsaw puzzles?
Nope, no jigsaw puzzles, which was refreshing. Oh man, I don't think I told you guys last week the thing that 11-12 Part 3 really kind of made me furious, because there's three puzzles that I believe that no one should by law be allowed to use in a game anymore.
Okay.
And that's Towers of Hanoi.
Okay.
The plain old 15 puzzle.
Which we did.
Yeah. Go ahead. And the one where the door is locked and the key is in the keyhole on the other side of the door, so you slide the piece of paper under the door and poke the key out, and they use that one in this game, and I was just like, really?
Why?
I mean, come
why?
On.
Why does that make you so angry?
It's been used so many times.
But at least when we did the 15 puzzle, there was something else to it.
Huge cliche.
There was a twist in our 15 puzzle.
Yeah.
A regular solution.
If there's a twist, that's fine. But just doing the plain old sheet of paper under the door is just don't do it anymore, guys. Seriously.
Are you mad at me for writing that into the Choose Your Own Adventure that I wrote that one year?
Did you? I must not have adventured to that location.
I think if you try that, you die.
He's mad. Good.
There's razor blades inside the keyhole and you bleed to death.
Good. I'm all right with that.
Are you sticking your dick in the hole?
No, it's your finger.
Oh, okay.
It's your finger.
All right.
You're sticking your dick in
the finger?
You can
bleed if you cut your finger. Yeah, you're sticking your dick in your finger. And then...
How?
That's...
Yeah, you might bleed to death.
And you're wearing that suit from 7. That reminds me, some of the video games Hot Dog audience might not have heard the sweet-ass joke that I made up a few years ago. Hey, Riff, why was 6 afraid of 7?
I don't know, Zach. Why was 6 afraid of 7?
Because 7 made 8 dressed up in this suit with a giant cock covered with razor blades and fuck 9 till it died.
That's a pretty good one. I'd forgotten about that one.
It's funny because the movie 7 is totally topical. and everyone remembers all of the scenes from it.
But yeah, so that's what I've been playing. What have you been playing, Kevin?
So I have also been playing Minecraft. I got sucked back in with 1.8. I was like, I wanted to see the new features. So I like went and found some map seeds that had like nearby villages and stuff like that and checked that out.
I found some map seeds that have known locations for strongholds, but I haven't gone and looked yet.
I also Zach said he tried that and went to the locations and I think I might have been getting trolled because...
Oh, really?
In the thread that I saw, which had these, like, I think they just picked coordinates that were across really huge bodies of water just to, like, make people waste a bunch of time swimming.
You didn't make a boat?
No. Okay. No, I should have made a boat. I always forget how easy it is to make something.
Yeah, that's the sort of thing you think about when you're halfway across the lake and going, oh, probably should have.
Probably should have made a boat.
Always make boats.
Yeah, you make a lot of boats.
I love them.
So yeah, so I was really, really disappointed in the villages. I thought they looked shitty and the buildings were kind of lame and stupid and laid out and badly. And the fact that the doors were often like way above the ground or buried under the dirt was kind of pissing me off.
That said, it's hard for me to imagine, like, without just dramatically altering the terrain generation to make a bunch of perfectly flat spaces to put villages on.
To me, it just seems perfectly obvious that you flatten the space before you put any buildings on there. You pick a circle that is larger than your village and you flatten it.
Or at least larger than that house, maybe.
Yeah, but you have to flatten it pretty gently.
Okay, did Riff tell you? Did he tell you about the village over the ravine?
No. It was pretty funny. I found this village that's built across a ravine.
And so it's not just floating there.
Yeah, it wasn't just floating there. It constructed a cobblestone column the size of the house that just went all the way down into the earth.
So there
would be a column for this house to stand on.
Like, they're just doing something wrong, right? Like, that is just, they need to refine that algorithm because it's just dumb.
Also, as somebody who spent a lot of time building, like, human-scale dwellings in Minecraft, I am sort of disappointed in the way that all of those buildings
look. Yeah, they seem really tight and uncomfortable.
Yeah,
tight and uncomfortable and, like, not very visually appealing from the outside either.
I don't understand how the creators of this game could come up with something so uncreative. Like, the only thing that looked kind of good was the well. Right, like.
I think you're overstating. I thought they were decent. I didn't how they used black wool to make the little street lamps because I object to using materials for a purpose that you would not actually be able to use that material for.
Yeah.
But I mean, other than that, I thought they were okay looking.
From a distance, they look okay.
A street light that was just a big cube
torches
of
with
wool with torches stuck in the sides of it.
I was really disappointed in the villages, but I love the ravines. I think the ravines are a tremendous improvement. I love the mines.
Mines are great. Once they fix the bug that causes the mines to overlap in weird ways, that'll be better. But yeah, they're pretty
mines
cool.
Running through ravines is a little weird because all the wooden supports and chests and stuff like that are still there floating, which is kind of strange.
Well, that's probably like they should just do them in a different order.
Yeah, I think it's an order of operations thing.
So yeah, but that was awesome. And then let's see here. I like the new spiders that they have.
You guys found any silverfish?
Nope, no. Because they only spawn in strongholds.
Uh-huh. Yeah, very, very rarely outside, I think.
I don't think I have the problems with the hunger meter that I was afraid I was going to have.
No, I agree.
For me, like, and I don't know if this happened in 1.8 or before, the stacking steaks takes care of that problem entirely.
Yeah, and plus, I mean, bread is easy, you know?
Is it? It doesn't require milk?
Nope.
It requires just wheat, 3 wheats and a table.
3 wheats. Yeah. Okay, that is pretty easy. Especially when there are these villages that are just filled with already planted wheat everywhere. Yep.
So yeah, besides that, I mostly been playing stuff on my iPhone. I finally beat Lost Earth Tower Defense.
Oh, the campaign mode?
Yeah.
It gets tough.
That final boss is pretty tricky. And now I've been going through and beating all the challenges and stuff like that. I could never beat the last like 5 or 6 levels on hard. So I kind of gave up on those. I've been playing some of the Robotech HD that you recommended last week, Dave.
I'm sorry that you're having problems with it. I kind of felt bad. How do you feel about that?
Because that's also on my list of things to talk about on what you've been playing, and I found myself just sort of walking away from it in disgust.
So I played a couple games of it and was enjoying it, and then I started losing a couple games and was like, this difficulty is scaling up really hard, or I'm just really bad at it. And then I talked to Dave about some strategies. And I started being a little more, paying more attention when I started playing, and I started winning more again, and it's been fine. I haven't paid them yet. I think if I lost all my currency, I would give them a couple bucks and see. Yeah, I mean, like,
I think that is the situation in which I would be the least likely to give them any money.
I don't know. Like, I feel like I am pretty well convinced at this point that I could if I played well, I could probably beat it without
giving them any money. Yeah, I'm not sure if the strategy that I adopted kind of made sense at the beginning of the game, but then the more I played the game, the more that I couldn't imagine playing it any other way.
This is the game we were talking about last week with the slot machine things, where you've got three... You have, what, like nine verbs to choose from, mm-hmm. at any given point, and then it randomly determines whether you do an extra good job of doing those verbs, yeah. in which case you get another turn, so it's really avalanche-y, or whether it does, like, a shitty job of doing that thing and then randomly does a couple of the
other things. That's the thing, is that it's not necessarily shitty. Like, so the make robots wheel, sometimes you it's good to get
diversity,
a spread of, the three different robots, and sometimes
you want
to have one strong or, Sure. Granted, you'd be better off getting the three
and
of a kind.
Making the choice to do that is entirely irrespective of the situation, right? Like, sometimes you're hoping for one outcome and sometimes you're hoping for the other outcome, but in every case, the outcome is just random.
No,
and I get that's the game.
But... So that part is random, but there are times, though, when, because the first wheel of that slot machine, you have a lot of control over what it is.
Right.
Perfect.
So,
you can
screw it up, but yeah, you should.
Sure.
I screw it up way too many times. But, So there are times where you definitely want one of this robot, and if it's a stronger version of that, that's fine.
I don't exactly understand the roles of the different robots. Like,
they're all just trade-offs between damage and durability.
And durability.
Later
in the game, there are special abilities for each of them. Like, the tank robot can deflect missiles.
That come at it, not at all the other ones.
Correct.
Right.
Correct.
So they're just, but again, they're just.
I mean, that's just more hit points for it, kind of, right?
It's just more of a trade-off.
Like situational additional.
Well,
the
missile one does a lot of damage, but it does it over a spread, and its special ability is that it can possibly get another missile. So, like, it can split up its shot between a bunch of. So, as an example, if you are up against a bunch of robots with very few hit points, you mm-hmm. would rather have the missile one because the missile one is more likely to damage all of them and kill all of them.
But the laser one, if it...
The laser one is only going to kill one of them.
If it kills one, it moves its beam to the next target. Right? So, like, I found myself almost exclusively just doing laser, 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 and that's how I was able to reliably
win.
Like, so you wouldn't even spawn any bots, is what you're saying?
Not a lot of the time, because the thing is, it was so fucking random that, like, I feel like by carefully playing, I could either win a fight in four rounds or the fight could go on for 40 rounds and I would lose all my hit points before I had done any damage to the guy. Like, the randomness,
I don't think it's as random as you think, right? Like,
I don't know. It really turned me off. Like, the fact that, like, whatever my skill level is, playing at that skill level resulted in such a spread of results across... Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, my general strategy is get some bots out. As soon as I have at least one aggressive bot, I then put up a shield.
Aggressive bot?
Well, one bot that will do... Bot. Yeah, that will do damage. Like, the tank one doesn't do enough damage for me to consider putting up a shield.
Okay.
So then I put up a shield, and if my shield survives till my next turn, then I will either add some more bots or do the actual offensive stuff. But if it doesn't, then I just keep putting up a shield. If the enemy, like, and then there's situational stuff. If the enemy, like, has four or five bots because it's stolen some of yours, you have to steal them back because you're not going to be able to overpower it in time.
You start microwaving.
Well, it depends on how strong they are. If they're all high level, it's not going to do enough damage fast enough.
So the strategy that I sort of landed on, I looked at each of the wheels and decided that the sort of defensive wheel was the one that was most complementary to itself, so that, like, no matter what results I was getting on that wheel, they all sort of helped each other out and helped me to a better.
They require you to have bots out, though.
Hack is useless if it doesn't roll right.
But
that's also true. It doesn't have like a minor.
It doesn't have
effect,
a 100%.
It's a win or
that
lose.
Is how I win. Like, I win all of my
it
games.
Up. You can power it up to give it a minor effect, which I thought was interesting.
But the minor effect doesn't always fire.
Oh,
well, yeah.
Okay.
But
so F that.
So even with the fact that one third of them is, or one third of the effects are sort of a crapshoot, those other two are so good and complement each other so well that, like, I spend all of my points only on that third wheel. I win all of my fights usually in the seventh or eighth round, and I win it with 7 or 8 robots.
7 or 8?
Yeah. With like, I'll put out 1 or 2 of mine. I'll put up the shield, and then I just keep on pumping the shield until the shield gets over 30 hit points. And then as long as...
How can you tell how many hit
points you tap? So this is one thing that helped my game a lot. If you tap on any of the robots or the shield, it'll bring up a little window that tells you like what level that is and how much how many hit points
it has. I tried that and didn't see it.
Yeah, it'll influence your strategy. Like if you'll realize that, oh, this thing only has 2 hit points, I don't need to worry about... Mm-hmm. doing something where this thing is going to die next turn. I need to.
Oh, so you can tell that of your enemies.
Yes,
too.
And,
okay.
and yours and your enemies.
Okay. Yeah. Well, that's
but
different.
Yeah, so like I lose like maybe 1 in 10, and almost all of those other fights, I have all of the robots. I'm just chewing. You know, there's no way that they can keep up with it.
It does seem like once you get a foothold, you have to fuck up pretty bad to lose.
Yeah.
But that's also true of the computer.
I think that this is a game that, to me, the balance of choices you make versus random things that are determined by the game is a little too far tilted towards the random for me to really be excited about it.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of felt the same, but I felt that it was fun enough that it's not something I'm going to put on my iPad and play instead of reading a comic book, but it is something that I'll keep on my phone and play whenever I'm standing in line somewhere.
Yeah, it's nice that you can play a quick little battle in 2 minutes and then put it away.
Except sometimes it takes 20 minutes because...
I've never had a 20-minute battle.
I also don't know how long 20 minutes is.
go ahead.
There's another Android game I came across this past week. It's not a game yet, but they've got a Kickstart page up for it. And it kind of has me super duper excited. It's called Zombies Run. There is already an existing game called Zombie.
It's like the pederasty.
Yes,
game.
It's exactly like that.
Oh, a pedometer. I'm sorry.
What they eventually want it to be is a sort of narrative game that, like, so you will start it up and there is somebody talking to you and you're part of this. Like last vestige of humanity in the middle of a zombie outbreak, and they're sending you out on a run to get supplies and to meet up with other joggers, and so it's primarily a jogging game with a story attached to it, but it's also using like GPS to make sure that, you know, you have to get to this point by a certain time so that
or you lose and have to stop exercising.
But no, like you have to get to a certain point. Otherwise, like the zombies will get to this point before you and you'll have to run some other direction. And it's got a bunch of story elements that they're planning on tying in on top of it and a lot of really neat multiplayer.
Hmm. How long until the lawsuit where somebody got run over by a truck because they were playing this game?
I'm dubious of this for two reasons. One is that I'm always dubious of game projects on Kickstarter because, like... You can make a cool web page about a game when a game mm-hmm. is never going to exist mm-hmm. in a fun way, right? And two, it's like everybody gets real excited about like fitness games and everybody's like, oh, look at me. I'm doing it. I'm telling all my internet friends that I'm going to exercise because of this video game. And then nobody ever does. Like, it's got a game where you have to exercise in order to play the game has now 2 built-in reasons for you to stop playing it. One, because it's a game and you're going to get bored with it. And the other one is because it's fucking exercise. And
this one felt like the exercise was one possible branch of it. But I've already been playing a lot of sort of like
virtual reality
games. Or I forget what the term that
they you'd probably be really good at this game if you were driving.
Augmented reality.
Well, you can't because it's not yet. Yeah, augmented reality is the word I was looking for. It's not just tying itself to roads. It's like, you know, I guess you could drive your car across
through the park
or into a building, you know, but
or to the bottom of a lake.
Or the bottom of the lake.
Alternatively, where you're going, you don't need roads.
Well, that's true. Mm-hmm. That is very true.
You could be on a
I really like this sort of real world tied in games though. On Giant Bomb this past week or whenever they were talking about the possibility of a new a thing that they made up, not that is actually happening, a new Pokemon Snap game, the old taking photographs of Pokemon. Oh. On the 3D...
Where the Pokemon is running around your house and
with like the camera on the 3DS and you have to hunt around your house and find all the nooks and crannies that the Pokemans are hiding in.
It's hiding under your dad's Playboys.
Yeah. I don't know. I think that would be incredibly fun.
I've been playing a game like that with my son. It's a...
Where you hide stuff under your Playboys.
Exactly. And that, no.
More there's Playboys.
It's called Spectrek, I believe. I'm not sure if it's on both the Droid and the iPhone.
Wait,
but it's
Spectrek? Like about all those...
Yeah, you're chasing a bunch of Hispanics.
In space.
you're chasing a bunch of ghosts. So it'll show you like the GPS map, and it'll show you where there are ghosts or where there might be ghosts or where there might be like these weird power up. I haven't played the game enough to like really level up and play that aspect of the game. But you wander around with the GPS, and then when you get close enough, you can pick up the phone and put it into camera mode, and you'll like see the ghost sort of wandering around, flitting in and out through
like
walls.
Like a geocache kind of game?
Sort of, almost. Yeah. Sort of like a geocache.
That's cool,
sort of
but like I want geocache. One I want one that runs on the scale of a house and not a
GPS. Well, right, because you don't
scale.
Like going outside.
Well, because I live in the middle of a goddamn desert. If I still lived in Pittsburgh, I would love
you
that
sort of
game.
You could probably do it at a mall. You could probably do
it. You don't get a good GPS signal in a mall,
oh,
though.
Oh, man.
Like, that's the problem
we
with
need to invent
GPS games
a mall
is they don't work indoors.
They don't work in New York. They don't work in
they don't
urban
work in New York.
Canyons.
Yeah. So
they don't work in regular canyons.
Yeah, or on the iPhone, they don't work when the sky is cloudy. Like
really?
Yeah, oh, wow. The GPS is terrible on the iPhone.
Or on a Casio calculator watch, they don't work at all.
That's I wonder also true. If true. Any of
or
the...
a Rubik's Cube, for that matter.
I'm not sure if it's just a difference in the Android, but I know that they give you the option of playing or using radio towers as GPS.
There's some of that. There's some of that kind of triangulation on
oh,
the iPhone.
That is most of the iPhone's.
The iPhone has a shitty GPS chip, and I think it is because their standards for battery life are such that if they used a better GPS chip, it would lower the battery life of the iPhone below some threshold that they're trying to insist on keeping, and that's why it's a shitty GPS chip. Whereas,
or
like,
they wanted to spend the least possible money on a GPS chip.
Well, I don't.
Maybe
most of their customers are using these phones in places where they have cell reception because it's a cell
sure.
phone, and so they can just triangulate
like
to
a little
get the
bit
position
last mile,
and they just use the GPS for the very little bit of like specific detail.
What's weird is that I don't understand why that would be a thing. Like, how does that save them any? You know, you're using the GPS, so you're figuring out exactly where you are. Why didn't you just do that in the first place? Why bother triangulating if you're going to be able to use the GPS to narrow it down in a smaller range?
Well, because it's easier to use cell towers than it is to use satellites. You're already in communication with the cell towers.
Okay.
You're already, like, they are already sending you packets that you're already receiving.
But why would you do that in addition to doing the thing?
It is instantaneous almost to use the cell towers and the GPS. You have to find a bunch of satellites and then.
But you have to do that anyway. Is what I'm saying. In order to use the GPS to narrow it down, you have to invoke the GPS, which takes the same amount of time whether you're doing it after triangulating or before triangulating, right?
I mean. Otherwise, it's just sitting there doing nothing for 10 seconds while it's like getting satellites, or a minute while it's getting satellites.
Okay, all right. I mean, if it's invoking the GPS and then using the triangulation to give you the first little pass on like the big circle coming in, then that makes sense.
That has been my experience.
It's just like a user experience thing rather than an actual functionality thing. Then like, yeah, that seems like something else.
And I've used my iPhone extensively on these backpacking trips to try to use it as a GPS, and sometimes it takes 5 minutes to get a GPS signal, and sometimes it just never comes in. And sometimes that's when the sky is clear.
Huh. Mm.
And when I'm atop a mountain, so it's like has no problem finding satellites or shouldn't have any problem.
I can see the satellites right there.
In the nighttime, you can. It's awesome.
Yeah. You
wouldn't be able to see geostationary ones.
That is true.
Well, you would be able to.
Well, you wouldn't know that they were satellites. Yeah. It's crazy how many satellites go across the sky when you're out in the middle of nowhere.
Just
you
once
can
you get
see.
Away from the city,
yeah.
Lots of satellites. We should recover them. Let's get Adam Duritz to help with that.
There's that cool satellite that's going to be crashing on Friday.
Yeah, where's it going to crash?
Nobody
is it
going to
crash into Camp Firewood?
No one knows.
If we can't roll the D20 enough times.
It could be in our office. It's unlikely. It is unlikely. It's the path is not particularly over the U.S.
Most of the world is water anyway.
Yeah.
I mean, humans are mostly water, so if it hits a person, it's technically
water.
A water landing. On average, it's a water landing. Yeah, I don't actually have anything else that I've been playing besides that Robotech and
You played some Diablo 3?
Yeah. Last episode was entirely about Diablo 3. But that's the assignment. That's We're not talking about the assignment yet.
Have either of you tried the monk yet?
Nope.
No.
Because that's I went and looked at the site and looked at all the classes, and the monk looks to me like the one I'm going to be interested in.
Oh, wait, I did try the monk for a little while. That was the only one that I didn't care about enough to play past level one.
Really?
I'll try it.
He did a lot of punching.
Mm-hmm. I like melee and the combos of the way his skills combine look pretty interesting, and I like being able to heal myself easily.
Physician.
Yep.
Yeah, I didn't find the combos to be healing. Like, I didn't really level up that much.
Also wasn't an issue, at least in the part that we got to play.
Well, you were mostly playing ranged dudes. Did you find that healing was not an issue with the barbarian? Because I died a lot.
I didn't play the barbarian.
I died a lot on the barbarian. The other classes, I barely took damage.
I was as the
Witch hunter.
I was up in doing melee and was not really having any health issues. Hmm. So, yeah, I don't know.
Well, I guess that's what we've been playing.
Yep.
What's news, Kevin?
Well, I think the most interesting thing is that whole Foldit thing that was in the news a lot the past couple of days, where gamers, effectively, scientists have been trying to figure out the crystal structure of this protein for a long time and had been unable to do so through all traditional means, and so handed it over to the Foldit program, which is a sort of distributed game-style way of trying to fold proteins.
Yeah, it was like, wasn't it like kind of SETI at home, except with a different purpose?
Well, it's not SETI at home, because SETI at home and that kind of stuff is just letting your idle cycles mm-hmm. of your computer do stuff.
You this actually is, had to do stuff?
Yeah, this is players, this is people actually playing a game.
I've started messing with it, and it's like, hey, it like starts out by giving you these things to like teach you the basic verbs of gameplay, and then it's like, now do this, and then eventually they just start giving you actual problems that they're trying to solve.
Huh. And they've done a couple of them, but this is the first one that was like, this had been a problem for years that scientists could not solve, and they gave it to this program and they solved it in under 10 days.
Oh, wow. Nice.
So,
By the way, AIDS is cured now.
Yeah.
Go fuck whoever you want.
Go gamers.
So, it was a really complicated structure that no one had been able to figure out like how it would work. And they totally found like the lowest energy. And then I guess they are able to take the proposed model back and do some computation on it. And mm-hmm. it is verified that that's actually what it looks like.
That's awesome.
Yeah. It's super neat. The game is not necessarily a lot of fun.
Yeah. I played it for like 2 days, I think, but I lost patience with it quickly.
And the players of it.
Dragons.
You accidentally invented super AIDS instead of curing AIDS.
A lot of the people who play the game are already scientists or IT professionals. Like they're like sort of very like high level thinkers to begin with, and so it's unclear like you know whether this is actually like getting it out to the public. But the idea is really cool, and the idea of like effectively crowdsourcing stuff and putting it in like
real world problems.
Yeah, and like having them do stuff abstractly that then becomes a real thing. You know, you could do the same thing with like traffic flow. Yeah. Maybe somebody could.
It reminds me of all those CAPTCHAs that.
Yeah, were actual text scans.
Yeah, that confirm OCR scanned documents for you.
Yeah. And then, you know, and there's like those. The mind reading game. I don't know if you know
the thing where they're just tagging pictures.
Yeah. They'll show two people.
Same. What was his name? Something von Braun.
Werner. Werner von Braun.
Werner von. No.
Yeah, he invented the ESP game and also rockets.
He's a CMU professor. He's got a game company back in Pittsburgh. I keep on meaning to hit up for.
I've only been watching CUM professors 12.
Yeah. So I guess it's Warhammer Online's third anniversary, which seems weird. It just seems like it was just yesterday that it came out.
Oh, see, I was surprised that it was only 3 years old, because it seems like forever ago that I got sick of that bullshit.
I never played it, so it yeah, seems like.
I don't really have a lot to say about it. I'm surprised, kind of, that it still exists.
Yeah, I was
long tail, man.
I think it was not.
I thought it was gone.
It was not as big a failure as the media sort of. It was not as big a financial failure as it was a PR failure, I don't think.
I mean, everybody wants something to rival World of Warcraft, and nothing is going to do that at, like, just right out of the box, except for maybe the Old Republic. You know,
there was a lot of discussion today in comment threads about what went wrong with it, and everybody was like, oh, they made it too much like World of Warcraft, and that's why it failed. And then there were people were like, if they would just do this, this, and this, there would be a huge resurgence. And it was like everybody's fucking bullshit pet issue that they think is the thing that drove people away is because of some obscure bullshit with the Reaver's level 45 skill not being balanced properly. And it's
that's,
like, you know,
that's why I gave up on
pretty sure that's not why anyone but you is upset with this game, and you're still paying for it.
I think it was the fact that the game was released before it was done. You know, that's my take on it.
It was a lot nowadays, though. It was pretty polished, honestly. Like, it was pretty good when it launched.
I remember you telling me all kinds of glitches, like...
with Warhammer?
Yeah.
Yeah, there was some movement glitch.
Yeah,
there.
Models were like rendered badly, or like the skin would be wrong or something. Like, there was a bunch of like graphical stuff that you were talking about.
Huh.
And
I don't remember that at all.
Yeah.
Maybe I just have rose colored glasses on my memories.
The things that I remember hearing about that seemed like a deal breaker was that they badly misbalanced the risk versus rewards for the various parts of the game, so there is an obvious path to maximize your returns. And so
everybody was hanging out in like battlegrounds, and so there was no realm versus realm action going on, where realm versus realm was the thing that they did really well.
That they touted as the
And they were the Dark Age of Camelot guys, so realm versus realm was like their deal, right? But I mean, it's I think that there is a small vocal minority that says that they want a really heavily PvP-focused MMO, and then there is the market, which does not want that at all.
Well, yeah. I mean, EVE is all PvP,
what was that game,
right?
Darkfall?
Crazy niche.
But it's like 300,000 people at its peak.
That's... You do not want... You can't shoot for more than that with a PvP game. You know what? And you know, I'd be happy to eat my hat later when somebody does. But like,
curious what the PvP involvement in World of Warcraft is, like as a percentage.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I don't think it's enough of a thing that it could be there instead of all of the PvE content.
No, I'm not saying that.
Because the PvE content is clearly what people are excited about. I'm
some
not positive.
People.
I mean, especially after playing a lot of Team Fortress 2, which is a deeply popular PvP game.
Yeah,
it doesn't have leveling.
Yeah, it has a bunch of item drops now.
Which are supposedly all like six of one minus a half dozen of the other. Like, they're all things that have a combination advantage and disadvantage, which, you know, is theoretically balanced, like, because they didn't want it to be a thing where you had to like level up.
Yeah.
Right? I don't know that you can't do that perfectly when you're just adding fucking hundreds and hundreds of random bullshits to your thing. But with a leveling game, we struggle with this in trying to come up with any meaningful way for people to compete across variable levels of power, right? Because, mm-hmm. I mean, all of the combat is just math, and it's like, how do you make 20 square off against 10 fairly? Like, well, you have to figure out some way to make that 10 not mean anything.
You get ganked. That's like, you have a level cap, and then you get ganked until you're there.
Yeah. Well, and then you continue to get ganked.
That's not fun, though.
Well,
it's fun.
It depends.
I mean,
running away from a really scary monster.
Ganking someone is fun.
No, getting ganked and then calling your buddies who are at the level cap to come in and just rape the shit out of the fucker that ganked you is pretty fun.
Okay.
Build a campfire on his corpse just to let him know you're not going anywhere.
We've talked about it before, but in World of Warcraft, do you remember in the old... what is that? Like one of the early undead areas where there were the Sons of Aragol, which were like 10 levels above the surrounding monsters and elites.
Okay, yeah. I used to have a lot of fun running around from those guys, and then when I was
high enough level, you went back
level
and you would, like,
to go
rape
back
their face.
Beat the shit out of them. Yeah.
Like, that was very satisfying. It wasn't PvP, but I felt like it gave you sort of the same sense, you know?
I mean, kind of, but the difference is that Jablomi, the level 30 warrior who beats me up when I'm level 10, I can't go back and find him again when I'm level 40 and he'll still be level 30.
If you level fast enough, you can.
you could just forget his name and then find somebody else that's level 30 and kill him.
Pay it backward.
Yeah, I mean, that's sort of the reason they gank you is because they got ganked when they were leveling up, so.
Yeah.
So you've been initiated into their fraternity.
Yeah.
Oh, cool, a new version of Flash.
Yeah, Flash 11 has been out.
Are they trying to compete with Unity at this point?
I don't know. I have no idea what their super new features are, but it seems like they're touting 3D gameplay as like one of the big ones.
So the development of our Flash game has now officially spanned 4 Flash versions?
No. We started with Flash 9.
It would be funnier if it was 4.
Maybe.
Why is Al Gore making announcements about new iPhones?
He didn't really make an announcement. I mean, he's on the board of directors of Apple.
Oh, is he?
Yeah.
Wow.
He actually has knowledge of what's going to go on, and he said...
I didn't understand
offhandedly, why as part of something else that he was saying, he said that there are going to be some new iPhones out in October. So that's like a further confirmation that they're coming out in October, even though it's not been officially announced yet.
I've heard that there's going to be like a iPhone 4B.
They're talking about an iPhone 5 and an iPhone 4GS or whatever. Yeah. Like, it's all still conjecture, so nobody knows. But
iPhone 4DS, which actually allows it has a lenticular screen, which moves forward and backward in time.
Yeah. That's pretty sweet. So you can hold it up to that girl that you're on your first date with and see what she's going to look like in 10 or 15 years,
and also what she looked like as a 12-year-old.
That was really what you can do is you can look forward in time to maybe 3 hours from then to see if she's blowing you or not, and if she's not, don't buy the dinner. I'm gonna get one of those.
Clever.
I found myself completely unable to get any work done today because there was no longer anyone around to tell me which direction to face while I was standing in the place where I worked.
Yeah.
I spent the entire time just looking at the wall.
Sorry, man.
No. You moved your desk back down.
I did.
Was there a problem with it, or did you just had your fill of standing?
Yeah,
the desk has a motor to go up and down, motorized. So that he can.
Yeah, it was the motorized. First time that I had seen it up.
He can adjust it.
I move it back and forth. I'll stand at it for a couple days and then sit at it for a couple days, and then sometimes one or the other of those happens for a month, and it varies. I don't know why I did it today. I think I had to draw some stuff. I thought I was going to draw some stuff, and then I didn't get around to drawing some stuff. Because I was too busy going after
staring at a wall.
Second bean lunch.
Did you have beans breakfast. For dinner? I don't remember.
No, you had bean breakfast, and then second bean breakfast, and then bean lunch, and second bean lunch.
I
don't think
there aren't a lot of breakfast. I could start having traditional English breakfasts.
Yeah, those have a lot. Irish breakfast. Yeah. Irish breakfast has beans.
Which is just whiskey, right?
Whiskey with beans
and beating
in it.
A glass of whiskey with beans with baked beans in it.
Wow.
And a potato garnish.
No, you drink it out of a holiday potato. and then Yahoo was censoring email about that Wall Street Wall Street protest thing, which I thought was anonymous, but then you were like, "It's not anonymous."
There were a couple of people in like the V for Vendetta masks at one of the events, but it's not organized by anonymous at all. It's there's apparently
anonymous.
Yeah, I hadn't heard about it, but apparently it's been in planning for a while. And there's like currently a couple hundred, maybe 1,000 people sleeping in the square, Liberty Square Plaza, which is right outside like all the Wall Street buildings.
Oh, where the Haunted Mansion is.
Yes. Where
their masks and their backpacks.
The whole idea is just a passive, like nonviolent protest against the like capitalist practices that are like causing all the crap to collapse.
Well, cool.
Are they just getting in people's way so that they can't go fuck their secretaries during lunch, or like is it?
I don't know what they're just trying to raise awareness, I guess. I don't know. Anyway, they did some interesting like videos I saw that like they would try to send an email that had the URL occupywallstreet.org in it, and Yahoo would not send the email.
Huh.
And then they would delete the URL from the email and it would send.
Oh, that's spooky.
Yeah, and apparently there's a bunch of people doing like a hashtag Occupy, like hashtag Occupy Wall Street, and it has not shown up on the Twitter trending topics, even though they have charts of like how like of searches that have it way above a bunch of other stuff that was on the trending topics. So it's unclear what's going on, but it's there's a lot of contention that there's active censorship by these companies because they're
I mean, do you think Twitter has a responsibility to let you tweet fire in a crowded theater?
I don't know.
They're a private company. Yahoo's a private company. They can kind of do whatever the fuck they want, right?
Yeah, I'm not saying that they're doing anything illegal. They're
scary that it's happening.
It's just interesting.
Tweet fire in a crowded MP4 file.
Crowded house MP3.
Don't you forget about me. I don't even know if that's crowded house. Oh, hey, so this assignment, what's up, huh?
Hey,
Team Fortress 2.
Yeah. Yep. Mm.
I got scolded. Schooled? A little bit. No, I was complaining. I was complaining about it, and then one of the guys that was playing on the video games hot dog Team Fortress 2 server was like, you know what? Just shut up. You're predisposed to dislike this, so stop whining about it.
Wow.
I'm like, oh,
yeah,
okay.
Nice.
Okay.
Huh. I mean, you started right, getting right. pretty good. You were sniping the hell out of me, man.
Yeah, but that was only because you didn't know what you were doing. Like, I had the same problem with this that I've had with every like multiplayer shooter I've ever played, which is that here's my impression. Like, you and I are both characters in this multiplayer shooter.
Mm-hmm.
The number of hits that it takes for me to kill you is 100. The number of hits that it takes you to kill me is 1. That is my experience of like playing Halo multiplayer, of playing Counter-Strike, of playing whatever. Like, playing against the bots during the tutorial, I was like, this is the least fun I have ever had. Like, if my goal had been, if the win condition for this game had been to shoot one guy with one bullet, I would still have lost.
I had kind of the opposite experience where I got into the tutorial and, like, I think I was playing Heavy, maybe, in the, like, the first fights or whatever, and just was, like, blowing crap up or whatever and really enjoying it.
Yeah,
and did the soldier thing.
There was only
was
the
fun.
Soldier tutorial was like you had to play that to get to the
yeah,
next
so,
one.
So I enjoyed that one, and then I played some of the bot
the soldier
matches.
The second half of the soldier tutorial where you're playing against a bunch of bots, like one dude would just circle strafe around me faster than I could fucking aim at him, and then I would be dead.
Huh.
Like it was not like
you didn't just like pick a well defended position and shoot people as they ran by.
No, because I had to go capture the points or the tutorial wouldn't complete.
Well, okay, so you shoot people until there's nobody around, and then you stand on the... Maybe my bots were just better teammates than your bots? Maybe maybe Mac bots are better than PC bots?
Be, yeah. Yeah, I don't know, man. I like
because they took over the point, and like it just didn't complete capture until I'd stood on it, but I didn't have to do anything.
I had so little fun with those practice matches. Huh. That part of the problem is that, like... So the times that I did fairly well were the times when we were on a really small map that mm-hmm. I could actually have any idea
the ones that were like the capture the flag style games were it was just too baffling. I couldn't figure out where
the ones with
I
the
was,
multiple checkpoints where you had to run the minecart through it. Like I had no idea. I kept
I was
asking,
okay with those
you
because you could just you could just follow the
time.
Track.
Yeah, okay.
And you
yeah.
can see, like, the outline of where the card is behind
yeah,
the
yeah, okay, I guess
so.
You could just follow the track. Like, every time, like, if I'm in a big open map area and then I go indoors, I'm just lost. Because, yeah. like, and it's yeah. the same thing in real life. Like, if I, like, a mall will completely screw me up. Like, I can
yeah,
negotiate
that's
a
true.
Neighborhood,
I have that
but a mall,
too.
I'm just fucked.
I've been with you in malls. You do get lost.
Yeah. Like, going into a confined space and not having any, like...
Although that outdoor mall in San Diego... Even I can't.
Oh, that place is a fucking nightmare. The Horton Square Mall.
The Horton Plaza, yeah.
Yeah.
That is ridiculous.
I have to admit that I had a bunch of fun
yeah.
playing Team Fortress 2 with a bunch of people who weren't.
I had more fun than I thought I was going to.
We were playing with a bunch of people who were very much predisposed to not be mean to us.
Yeah.
Which I think
but
is
I wasn't
huge.
For what it's worth, I wasn't even reading the chat most of the time. I was just playing the game. I wasn't yeah. communicating. I wasn't in the like,
well,
the,
and
on
the way your computer was set up too, we couldn't hear what people were saying on your speakers. It was too clipped. It always
oh,
seemed like
yeah, the audio wasn't hear. That good. But I was just you know, I was just whatever. I was just shooting people and getting shot, and it was fun.
Mm-hmm. I never
got,
go ahead.
I got into an awesome scout duel with I think it was Kathreven.
Oh yeah,
he was a scout and I was a scout, and we were just scampering around, circle strafing each other, shooting at each other with the little shotgun for like a good, I don't know, couple of minutes at least.
Wow,
just going at it until finally I think I was the one that won that one, and it was pretty sweet.
I like the only times that I ever got more than one or usually zero kills before getting killed. Was as the sniper, where I would sometimes get 6 or 7. But the mm-hmm. the reason for that was that if at any point any person on the enemy team is aware of me, I am just instantly killed by them. Like, I'm so bad at... Like, I can aim at stuff and shoot at it easily if it isn't moving, mm-hmm. with some difficulty if it is moving, and not at all if it and I are both moving. And so, it, you know, you have to just be fucking running around like crazy all yeah. of the time, which... This is a thing that I observed to you It is extremely surprising to me, both with PvP in World of Warcraft and with this game, which came from Valve, the amount of just sort of chaos and bullshit that is going on visually on the screen when you're playing against people who are controlled by other players is so awful that I am amazed that those companies are willing to put their names on those games, if that is the experience that you have with it.
So, I mean, that is a super subjective perception of what the game is like, because yeah. I never viewed it as chaotic. Like,
I mean,
there's a bunch of stuff going on, but it was all comprehensible.
Yeah,
to me.
They've obviously gone through a great deal of trouble to make all the characters are very immediately visually distinctive.
You know, yeah. I would argue that in their vanilla forms they are, but there were occasionally like some dude running around with a giant paper bag on his head and a sword. No fucking idea what class that guy was. It definitely wasn't a heavy.
Oh, they, right? The silhouette still wasn't recognizable.
Well, because they've got the specialized items and stuff now. Oh. So they like, yeah. They get.
So it's like, okay, so what's the class that has the paper bag on his head and the fucking giant cardboard sword? I don't know. And even if I did.
It was probably
so, like,
the Demo Man, because I think the Demo Man's melee weapon is a sword.
So if you know what class the guy that's running at you is,
yeah.
In the amount of time that it takes for you to react to that information, you're dead, in my experience. I found more often than not, by the time my brain had sort of registered whether this person was on my team or not, they had killed me.
But because friendly fire isn't a big deal, you just fire them anyway.
But ammo is a big deal.
Ammo's
right?
Not that big. I mean, there's ammo caches everywhere. Like, that's,
yeah,
I would often
get more ammo picking up the guns from dead guys.
I would often just sit near an ammo and health cache so that I could shoot a bunch and then
I've
run over to
that. I very rarely ran out of ammo, but that was mainly because I died too fast.
Yeah, I mean,
it's funny. Like, my impression of the game, in not having played it but in watching people play it for 2 days, was mostly that it was a game where you ran around in the middle of a fight and you beat up on machines with a wrench. It was really confusing for like the first 20 minutes.
You were watching Jenny play an engineer.
I was like, everybody that I watched, was like, oh, look, they're beating on a machine.
I was so proud. I built this awesome dispenser and I got a dispenser all the way to the top level and a turret all the way to the top level.
Perfect.
And then immediately they just blew up. And I was like, what just happened? And then I died and the game was over.
Everybody was on fire.
What just happened?
Yeah, the number of times that I got killed and just I had to ask people, like, hey, what happened to me just then? Like, how can I avoid this in the future? Like, because I don't... Did someone shoot me or did I accidentally kill myself somehow?
Yeah.
Like, I...
Backstabbed by a spy.
It
at least once, I bet.
The fact that you would not describe that game as just deeply chaotic...
Oh, it's definitely chaotic,
like,
but... I don't think it's
you're saying visually visually chaotic, and I would not
say. More often than not, I have no fucking idea what the fuck is going on.
I feel like you are that is your stance in a lot of like sort of real time PvP type situations, and that's just not how I've encountered the games. I don't know
I have
if it's
that problem with a lot
a visual
of,
processing
a lot
thing
of, like,
or
modern fighting games, like anything that's got like the humongous screen wide animations for combinations like in fighting.
Soul Calibur.
Guilty Gear. Like Guilty Gear especially. I have never been able to play that because I just cannot tell what is going on.
Okay, so a game that I haven't played but I have watched people play and I was confused as to what was going on was Super Smash Brothers or something like that?
Yeah,
I feel like
that
is because the camera's constantly moving and panning
that's the
out.
One that
and
can.
Like everything is just crazy.
Are you meant to not be able to tell what team somebody is on when they're on fire?
I don't know. I mean, if you mouse over them it tells you, right?
Like what does it mean if somebody is all shiny? Are they shiny in the color of the team that they're on?
Yes. Well, the shiny that I'm familiar with
is the invulnerable.
Is the invulnerable that the medic can give
the
them.
Uber charge.
And that makes both them and the medic.
Okay.
Shiny.
What does that mean?
So if you're a medic and you are healing somebody past maximum, so they now have like 150% hit points or something like that. You can charge while you're doing that. You're also charging up your Uber charge, and if you unleash it, you get like 30 seconds of invulnerability or something like that. And so does your
you and the guy that you have targeted for it become invulnerable for like 15 or 20 or 30 seconds.
Yeah,
and that's what that shiny glow.
How do you
means.
Know that? How did you learn this?
There's
I don't remember.
I don't know, like just reading about it?
It's watching the Meet the Medic video and those various promotional cartoons.
We did get the occasional, like...
I got a bunch of really useful, like, advice from people I was playing
like,
with.
Like, don't ever use the needle gun for anything ever.
Well, I got the, like, you can, as a heavy, you can keep your gun spinning with the right button, so you don't have to waste ammo to keep it, because it takes a long time for it to start firing. Mm-hmm. So you get it spinning, so you can instantly start hitting
but
dudes.
Then you can't move, and you get shot in the head, and you're dead.
You move slower,
like,
but...
I got zero kills with the heavy, because I would just unload all of my ammo into a dude, and they would not be dead.
You had pretty high latency, as well as I did, and I feel like maybe that was your problem. Maybe you would shoot at somebody, and they were just not there when the bullets arrived.
One thing, and this was a thing that they brought up, like Kingdom of Loathing, as I was complaining about this. There is an option that you can turn on that lets you know when you've hit someone, which was huge helping me understand what was going on. Mm-hmm. Right, it makes it like a ding noise, and then hit point bubbles pop up, and I'm like, why the fuck is that not turned on by default? And they were like, because it's a feature that was added 2 years after the game launched. And they figured that most people didn't want it because they were already used to it.
Also, you spent a lot of time chatting. I didn't chat at all. Maybe that was your problem. You were actually too busy trying to process what was going on.
I was trying to learn things about... Like, yeah. I was trying to figure out what the fuck was going on.
You need to process the game with like your lizard brain, I think. And I don't... Maybe that's your problem. You're trying to like actually think about the game in real time.
Because when I fail at something, my instinct is to lizard want brain. To not fail again.
Yeah, lizard brain.
What does the lizard brain want to do when it fails?
Well, it's sun on a rock.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do some push-ups.
Stick the tongue out.
Yeah.
Snag a
put
moth.
A sock on your cock and lay out in the sun.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. That's what Kevin's lizard brain wants to do.
Yeah.
There's that lizard that lives up above our light fixture on the porch that runs down and grabs moths in midair.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Pretty great lizard.
It is a pretty great lizard. I don't know how long lizards live. It might be a family of lizards. Yeah, it might be a line.
There's a lineage.
It's like the lizard Infinity Blade. Every once in a while, one of them comes in here and tries to eat one of us. We step on it without even noticing.
So I had a ton of fun with Team Fortress 2. I don't know that I would play it again.
Yeah, same here. I mean, it was fun playing it, and it definitely had that potato chip problem. You know, you can't... You know, I'll just play one more.
Yeah, I did want to keep playing it, and then I found myself... I went out to... I guess it must have been dinner after that, and I was like... I kept drifting off in my conversations with my girlfriend because I was thinking about Team Fortress 2, which I feel like, I just don't know.
Ten gigabytes.
I feel like
what,
I do.
Why the fuck is it 10 gigabytes?
That was the other part I forgot to add in, is I spent probably about an hour clearing space off my hard drive first before I started the download process. That's a big game.
I feel like for me to really enjoy it, I would have to spend... a lot of time learning the maps, and I'm not sure I want to devote that much time to
that. And just getting better at each class, so you understood what each class can do, and its strengths and weaknesses and stuff.
There's not really any advantage to put, like, I feel like you find a class that feels right.
Well,
you need to compliment your teammates and stuff like that.
Different classes are better in different situations.
The lizard brain doesn't care about complimenting your teammates.
You don't think about that part while you're playing. That's when you use the lizard brain.
Well, I mean, it's like, you know, sometimes you got to be a chameleon. Sometimes you got to be a snake.
Here's the thing that you might not have known about all of the chatting I did.
Yes.
It almost exclusively happened during times when I was dead.
Yeah,
which was most of my playtime.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
Like, so, I mean, that's... I fucked around for a long time trying to get a microphone to work and couldn't.
I couldn't do anything valuable as a medic. Really, I couldn't. I was not good as a medic. I was not good as a sniper. I had a lot of fun as a spy. A lot of fun
sniper
as a heavy.
Sniper was interesting, but that was the one where I was especially feeling the problem of not knowing the maps, because it took way too long for me to find any kind of advantageous shooting position.
I managed to do okay as the sniper. Like,
yeah.
I would just get somewhere.
A lot of times I'd be like, oh, I'm dead. Oh, and here's a picture of Zach being a sniper.
So, I mean, I feel like I would just always play a sniper.
I stabbed a bunch of people in the back, which was really satisfying.
Yeah. The one time I tried to be a spy, I was like, okay, cool, spy. What do I do here? I'm gonna run around for a minute, and then I'm going to disguise myself as an enemy, and immediately just shot in the head by some guy. Like, did he see me dress up as that dude?
I don't know. Did you didn't
like,
stealth? You didn't stealth to get out into the melee?
I didn't know the stealth was a
thing.
You
can be invisible for a while.
Okay. I know that every once in a while somebody would yell something about Casey Wiederman is spy, Casey Wiederman spy, Casey Wiederman spy. I'm like, okay, sorry. If I wasn't dead, I could do something about this, but I'm dead because I'm playing Team Fortress 2.
See, I feel like the game is one where if you are good enough, you start to pay attention to, okay, who all is on my team? What character classes are there? Oh, somebody's a pyro. We don't have a pyro on our team, so he must be a spy. And like, you just shoot him right away like that. Like, there's probably a bunch of levels at which you could get better at this game. And sounds like it would be fun, but I don't want to invest that amount of time.
And you guys were playing with a bunch of people who were very familiar with the game.
Some of them were, some of them weren't. I think a lot of people were approaching it from the same place that we were.
Really? Yeah.
I can understand why it is so popular. Hmm. I don't think I'm going to get into it.
Thinking about it, I'm surprised. What surprises me, honestly, is the number of people who had Team Fortress 2 outfits at Dragon Con. Mm. So it just does not seem like a game where I would get invested in my character.
It seems like a bro game, too, kind of. Maybe. More so than a, like, MMO.
It's got,
game, right?
It's
like, got a, it seems like at Dragon Con, you'd get the MMO costumes and not the bro costumes.
You'd think.
But.
It's just weird because it's not a... I don't know. Everything is so purposefully generic, you know?
Yeah.
Because it doesn't take itself seriously? Is that?
Oh, it's very silly.
Yeah. Which is good. I think they really pegged the right, like, flavor.
I can understand why people would complain about all these bullshit items, though, because that just got absurd. Right? Like, silly is one thing. Oh, I'm stabbing you with a toothbrush is another thing. And it's like...
Yeah, I got some sort of space gun from Dragon Con. Yeah, Dragon Con.
They
Comic
talked
Con.
About
Comic Con. Sorry. Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, Dr. Grodbort's something.
Huh. They talked about the way that you get items in this game, and the way that it used to work was that they were tied to achievements or whatever, and now it's like, whenever an item drops, it sets a timer for when you're going to get another item. And so it just meets out items over. Some of them are still tied to particular achievements, but
and some of them are things that you buy, and some of them are things that, like, I had a helmet because I had actually bought the game instead of getting it for free. And yeah,
there's a few that you can get by doing extra achievements in other games,
in other games.
Space Chem gave me a couple lumps of mustachium or something.
Yeah.
Huh.
So
I mean, it seems like I must have done something at some point that would have earned me some Team Fortress 2 items in all of the games that I played on Steam, but I didn't find anything.
Did you go to your backpack?
You know what else? It took me so long to understand the just fucking insane interface for your loadout. It's like, that is
loadout.
So bad.
Yeah, picking the items you have equipped, that is kind of confusing.
I haven't
really messed with it at
and
all,
it,
but
to me,
time
it
I
kind
did
of smacks like, of, like, is... Facebook syndrome, where, like, if I had been here for each of the updates that resulted in this, this would maybe be comprehensible, but, like,
just
it was a mess.
Coming in at the end, yeah.
Yeah, and, like, why is there crafting in that... Like,
what does that even really mean? Yeah,
What crafting materials are there?
I think you just make stuff out of other stuff. It's basically
swapping
cube.
Items that you have extras of or don't want for things that you haven't got yet.
That is my impression.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I can definitely understand why they want to keep working on the game and keep adding stuff to it, but I could also understand the objections of a purist to all of this random crap being pasted onto these guys that just basically fucks the art direction in half, right? Like, I'm guessing that the people who designed these character models in the first place would never have allowed this if they'd been in control of it. And
that said, this is probably letting them make money on this game when they weren't before, you know?
Well, I'm sure they were making some money when it was for sale and still extremely popular.
Maybe.
As a game that you had to buy, right?
When did it come out? How long ago?
It's been like 3 years, I think.
Quite a few. I guess it's done in the Half-Life engine? Half-Life 2?
Yeah, which is, I think, why it's such a huge download.
Came out with the orange
box,
so it's as old as the original Portal.
Huh. What's weird is that when it came out, though?
I think so. Uh-huh. I might be wrong, but that's the impression I have.
Hmm.
Was it
Portal came out before the Orange Box, though? didn't it?
Was it a mod, Was it okay? Sorry,
yeah, I think Team Fortress was a Half-Life mod. Team Fortress 2 is a Source Engine Half-Life mod.
Well, so here's the question: was it fan created or was it corporate? Was it something that Valve?
I think it was one of those things where the first one was fan created, and then Valve hired the guys to make the second one.
Like Portal was originally some.
It was like a Digipen, like was like Narbacular Drop, yeah, right? It was that game. Yeah.
And then Valve sort of bought them or brought them in or something.
You know what? I did not play this time, but this also reminded me. Like, I played that the Stanley Parable game.
What'd you think?
And that was like a fucking 6 gig download because I had to download the Half-Life 2 SDK.
Yeah.
Why? Okay. Like, why is Team Fortress 2 10 gigs? That doesn't make any sense.
It was pretty frustrating.
Half-Life 2 had so much content, that same engine, and was on a DVD. Yeah. Right. So why is this bigger than that? How does that make any kind of sense? It reuses some assets for like the sound that it makes when you open one of those ammo cabinets is like a Half-Life sound. You know, like, yeah, I don't get it.
Huh.
I do not get it.
Maybe there's an entire like MMO underground that they just haven't told people about.
Oh, yeah.
It's
secret quests.
9 gigs of protein folding tucked away in the background.
Oh, right. They're trying to cure AIDS.
Yeah.
That'd be hilarious.
That super AIDS that Dave came up with.
Sorry. Yeah.
Jerk.
Space AIDS.
Space herpes.
Spades.
So what are we doing for next week?
Oh, right. I almost forgot. So Monday is the 25th anniversary of the NES Castlevania.
Yay!
Might be the American release of the NES Castlevania. Or maybe not. I don't know.
It was released in Japan in 86, so I think it is actually the Japanese.
The Japanese release. So it was like a Famicom Disk System game. But I think we should play the original NES Castlevania.
Okay.
It's pretty quick. You know, if you do it with save states, you can beat the game in like half an hour, probably. I think that'll be fun. You can get it on Virtual Console for $5. You can play the copy that you already have in your directory full of ROMs.
You can play it as a Java applet on the web.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
You found that?
I did. I wanted to make sure that people could play it reasonably. Nintendo8.com, I think.
Hmm.
Are there save states on the Java?
That I don't know.
I never managed to beat Castlevania. Like, I got to the next to last level of Castlevania a handful of times when I actually owned it as a kid, but I never managed to beat the boss of the next to last level.
I played it for like 5 minutes before we started recording, and like, why are hearts the fuel for your special ability and food is what heals you?
Yep. It's weird.
I was like, why am I not improving? Why is my health not getting better? And then I was like, oh yeah. Wow. I vaguely remember this now.
It's like, you know, it's like chi. Yeah. It's like filling you up with piss and vinegar.
Jeez.
So remember to hit up and your attack to use your special abilities.
You don't have to. This ain't anybody's first rodeo. I'm guessing.
It took us like 4 seconds to figure it out.
There are people that are younger than the game and who have not played it.
They don't listen. Ever.
I don't think our podcast skews that young.
Okay. I think.
I hope not.
What do you? I mean, you could.
No, I'm sure there are people under 25 who listen to this podcast. Like, how is that? Like,
oh, okay, all right.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing.
I guess I'll have to put my pants back on then.
Yeah. I'm glad I kept my PlayStation style controller out.
Oh yeah.
I left it plugged in from when we did Metroid.
It better with arrow keys and ZX.
No, I'm playing it with my gamepad.
I'm gonna play it on my ZX Spectrum.
Okay. Ooh. Cool.
Does anybody remember the arcade Vampire Hunter?
No.
It's like arcade Castlevania, or Haunted Castle, it's called. It was Castlevania, the arcade, but good.
I don't remember that at all.
It was awesome.
Yeah. Did you have a whip?
I don't know if it was good. Yeah, you had a whip, I think. Maybe you had a knife. I don't know. Maybe you had a knife whip.
Whip's a weird choice of weapon.
Yeah. Makes a vampire game.
Makes sense for candle breaking, I guess, but that's weird.
Yeah. I mean, if you're going to break a candle,
better do it with a whip.
A whip is really the right tool for that job.
Yep.
Hey, let's do some feed mails back.
Ooh, great. Feed mails.
Let's see. ACM Red Fox writes, "Hey guys, back in the pre-podcast days, didn't you really enjoy some German wine trading game? Do you remember its name? I remember talking about the game because it had a funny name, which was Weinhandler. But I never played it.
It made me chuckle.
Did any of you guys play Weinhandler?
I don't even know. Nope. I have this vague recollection of talking
I've
about
heard
that.
Of it.
It looks vaguely Cargo Noir-ish.
Yeah.
Man, I want to play some more Cargo Noir.
Mm-hmm.
Too late. No more Cargo Noir for me.
Wow.
Oh, I don't know. Beat Jeff says, what do you guys think about the ghoulish exhumation of Syndicate? Also, please homework task Syndicate. Thanks. I felt that there was this fundamental problem with every Bullfrog game, which was that it was possible for a whole bunch of shit to occupy the same space at the same time, and it drove me fucking crazy. That, to me, one of the first things I remember, like, coming to an understanding of a thing that other game companies did that Blizzard never did, that made me like Blizzard's games more than other game companies' games, is Blizzard never let multiple things occupy the same fucking space. Yeah. There was never
except
that
for people.
There was never that. Well, sure, in World of Warcraft, but this was back in the day. This was before that, right? Like, okay. I was like, why does Warcraft 2 feel so much better than this Command and Conquer game or whatever, where I send all my tanks here and then they're just all sitting on top of each other and then they have to spend a second spreading out into formation. Mm-hmm. And it's because they let shit occupy the same space at the same time. I think that the grognards who are pissing and moaning about how they're going to ruin Syndicate by turning it into a first-person shooter are very much the same people who were like, oh, you can't, you're going to fuck up the Fallout license with Fallout 3. You know, this was supposed to be isometric. This was supposed to have this turn-based combat, and it was supposed to be tactical, and you're going to ruin it. You're going to just shit on the spirit of Fallout. And Fallout 3 is just the best fucking Fallout game. And I mean, anybody who disagrees is just wrong.
That's a good counterpoint. I guess it just depends on whether you trust these people to do it right and whether you're an optimist or a pessimist in that
regard. I mean, do you trust Zynga to make a Mafia Wars 2 really good?
Because yes.
That's pretty good.
I really enjoyed Syndicate, although it was broken in a lot of ways, and like I beat so many levels just by having the Persuadertron up to maximum, just load my guys into a car and have them drive around in the city until every single person in the city, including all the enemies, are hypnotized and on my side, and then I just park the car and 200 guys load into this car and I drive away off the level having won.
That's a weird strategy there.
Yeah,
solid.
It worked pretty good.
Clown car.
I wish Dungeon Keeper had been good, but it just wasn't.
Yeah.
Still played a lot of it. Dungeon Keeper 2, at least.
Too much bowl, not enough frog. A good solid Dungeon Keeper type game. If somebody made a really good version of that same kind of game.
I was excited about the new thing that they made, which was like, I don't even remember what it was called, Dungeon.
Yeah.
I think it might have just been called Dungeon. But that was like, all right, build a dungeon, and then it kind of doesn't matter what kind of dungeon you build because you just have to go first person and go attack these dudes like a shitty MMO.
Oh, that's a shame.
Yeah, it's terrible. I don't have any particular love for Syndicate, and so I don't really care. I mean, like with XCOM, I understand that XCOM was like iconic, you know, it was our first assignment, it was important, but like, it is hard for me to imagine somebody making a game that I enjoy the moment-to-moment play of less than that of XCOM. And so I think the XCOM reboot is probably going to not really offend me that much.
Yeah.
You know, I think a fun first-person shooter where you also get to recover some alien technology and then build some laser guns for you to take on your next first-person shooter level is going to be way better for me than some fucking, like, your 12 dudes all named Natalia and you're tactically moving them around a fucking diagonal.
You have to load them up with weapons, and if you forget, you're fucked.
I would be all about that, man, as long as it didn't have all the complicated world negotiations and bullshit that the original one had.
See, I like the base building, and I like the research, and I like the assigning.
I like the research and you know, equipping your dudes.
I feel like what they should do is do the civilization thing where you can play the game at all the levels that you want to, and then it just has autopilot for the rest of it.
Set advisors for various things. I played Star Control 2 with the computer controlling all the combat because I just didn't like the combat. It's one of my favorite games, and there's a huge swath of it that most people really liked that I was just like, fuck this. I'm so bad at this that I'm just going to let a computer do it at, you know, 70% effectiveness, lose a lot of dudes, but that's just part of the challenge for me. I'll just, you know, have to recover those dudes.
It's weird. Like, video game reboots don't bother me at all, but movie reboots sort of punch me in the soul.
That's because you care a lot about movies and less about video games.
That's possible.
Extantic says, hey guys, what games are you most excited for besides Diablo? Star Wars The Old Republic.
Skyrim.
Guild Wars 2.
More Minecraft.
Yeah, more Minecraft. That's kind
of
where
there's
I'm
a possibility of 1.9 coming out tomorrow.
Holy fuck.
Notch, yeah, Notch tweeted something.
Nah. I don't know. I did not read that into what he said.
Hmm. What else? I feel like there's something else I've been waiting on besides Skyrim. Diablo 3.
There's the unannounced Blizzard projects.
Yeah, the untitled Blizzard Dakota Fanning rape project. That game where everyone the MMO DFR, the massively multiplayer online Dakota Fanning raper.
You're going to hell.
Yeah,
it's called Titan.
Oh God.
Cyber 34 writes, would you guys go back to WoW if it went free to play? I don't think we're all grown-ups, and so for none of us is the $12 a month that WoW cost a factor, even a little bit.
I paid for WoW for like a year or so after I stopped playing, just because I didn't care.
I still have an active WoW account because it's easier for me to just let them bill my credit card every month than me fish my credit card out whenever I want to come back to World of Warcraft every 6 months.
I was a little surprised how many people were like, oh, my gamer card expired. I can't play for a couple of days until I... And I was like, why is this how you are playing this game? Like, have been playing this game for a year and a half, and you could have saved $50 or $100 by just buying it 6 months at a time.
But you couldn't have, because if you are the kind of person who has that kind of problem, you are so close to the edge of the money that you have all the time that you literally cannot spare the amount
because
of money that it would cost.
You can't save $100 by spending
$50. You can't save $100 by spending $100 today,
I guess.
Right? You have to spend $20 10 times over time as you get new paychecks, right? Huh. Which is, I've been there. I didn't play World of Warcraft when I was there.
Yeah,
that's
the thing. So don't play for 6 months so that you can then play for 2 years.
If they were the kind of person, Kevin, that was going to make sound decisions based on the delay of gratification, they wouldn't be living paycheck to paycheck like that, right? So you can't... I mean, it's like, well, if I was homeless, I would just get a job and then not be homeless anymore. It's like,
so
well,
wait, are you trying
you
to say
wouldn't
that,
be homeless.
So that like, the guild drama that they caused might be because they have drama in their regular lives?
Yeah, it could be. It could be. Yeah.
I personally am a big fan of initial purchase and free play from that point on over subscription.
I don't think that's a really sustainable model, though. I mean,
not for these services that are continuing to provide content and server architecture and stuff like that. Like they're going to have
for. I don't have a problem with paying for new content, though.
Yeah.
And a lot of that is probably. the fact that I will go a month and not be able to play a video game, and I will feel like I'm
the irony
screwing myself over.
Of you playing Dungeons & Dragons online for, I think, 6 months?
Dude, it was for...
A year?
In chunks, it was probably over a year.
Okay, so you played
just it... Just playing the trial.
You would play
the trial for
over
free.
And over and over and over again, and then when they went free-to-play, you stopped playing.
Well, when it went free-to-play, I spent probably about $200... On bump ups because I was playing it with my son at that point too. So, I spent probably more money than I would have been spending before had I been paying to play, and then I stopped playing.
Yep,
that was a lot.
That's how they get you.
I like that game.
Yeah. I don't know. The one game that I would play and that I will play once it goes free to play, because I feel like it's probably going to happen within the next 6 months or so, is Star Trek Online, because that. Is a thing that, had some money thrown at it. It is likely to have different enough gameplay that it's not just, like, kill 10 rats, right? It's going to be, like, kill 10 Klingons or whatever.
Racist.
Yeah.
I wonder if they've had time to fix the problems that it had when it was launched.
I'm not aware of what problems it had when
it was
launched.
I mean, it was released probably 6 months before it was ready because they were the license that they had. The IP license with Paramount was gonna expire, and they just had no choice but to launch it. So I'm curious whether they continued working on it in a way that they were able to sort of fix all that.
I'm curious as to what's going to happen with the Old Republic, because if it launches and is as good as World of Warcraft, I don't know that necessarily means that it is as successful as World of Warcraft.
I mean, think about Google Plus. Like, it is arguably as good as Facebook in terms of the architecture of a social network, but it has been largely uninhabited in some ways. Like,
if the Old Republic can manage to come out 6 months to a year before a WoW expansion comes out.
Well, 6 months, well, maybe like in the sweet spot after a WoW expansion.
Yeah. Well, so like, say right now, if the Old Republic came out right now, like, I feel like Blizzard probably doesn't have an expansion on deck that's going to happen within the first half of 2012. They might. I mean, that, you know, whatever announcements they're excited about making at BlizzCon this year might end up being something really significant. Like, oh, yeah, here's this expansion that we're nearly done with that's launching for Christmas this year or whatever. But I really doubt it.
The World of Warcraft Minecraft crossover.
You're getting me excited about BlizzCon.
I'm super excited about BlizzCon. Although I'm not so excited that we're staying at the fucking 2.5-star Jolly Roger hotel across the street. Because we didn't find out until fairly late that we were going to be able to go to BlizzCon. And so all of the good hotels that are actually adjacent to the convention center were booked up.
What's wrong with the Jolly Roger?
I don't know.
I have fond memories of the Jolly Roger.
Whatever has...
Fond memories of a Jolly Rogering.
All right. Well, you know what? That's somebody is saying that Kevin is so right, writes Noodleon, about what a build is. Doesn't matter how permanent your choices are, just that you make some.
Stop rolling your eyes.
You could not be wronger about this term. You could not be wronger. When you're logged off, there's no difference between your level 10 Witch Hunter and my level 10 Witch Hunter. When we are logged off. There's no difference between them. When we are logged off, there is a difference between your level 10 Holy Priest and my level 10 Shadow Priest.
There is just as much difference. That's what I don't understand.
Yeah, I don't understand how you can believe this. Like, this is such a fundamental concept that it is astonishing to me within that we are having such a disconnect.
30 seconds of logging in on either character, they could have each other's skill sets.
30 seconds and the expenditure of some resources in one case.
And the expenditure of time in the other.
Mm-hmm. Does clicking a button count as an expenditure of resources because it takes time?
Yeah.
Okay. Then the semantics of this are so absurd. It is now not worth having this conversation for two different reasons. Let's let the listeners have a conversation with us instead. How would they do that, Kevin?
I'm sure they wouldn't want to because we are obnoxious as fuck. But against their better judgments, they could go to our website. Videogameshotdog.com and see a bunch of links to our forums and our Twitter and our email and stuff like that. If you don't like the internet but somehow still use email, you could send us an email at vghotdog@gmail.com. Or you could tweet us in real time at vghotdog. And we tweet there with some sort of between show news and stuff that we're up to and that kind of thing. So yeah. That's how you could get a hold of us.
And if you want to talk to me in person, just find the place where they sell all the beans.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll be there. Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Have a great week, everyone.